chapter 6 is loaded. Still talking about honoring covenant relationships and marriage, family, ministry team, and church life. Now, God is a God of covenant, and all of his dealings with mankind have been on the basis of covenant. Every promise in the Bible and every requirement of the believer is based on the grounds of covenant. And so, you know, we've looked at covenant and understood that covenant is a serious situation. Now, in covenant living with God, he's bound to honor his word. He's bound to it. You know, scripture says that, you know, God will not alter his word. You know, once God has spoken something, he's not going to take it back. So God is a covenant keeping God. And so he is bound to honor his word, and we are duty bound to maintain our part of the covenant. All right. God invited Abraham to enter into covenant with him. God promised Abraham that the covenant would never be nullified, even if Abraham died. Even if Abraham left the scene, God still would honor what he told Abraham. And see, we're going to look a little further into this. Now, thus reinforcing the covenant through Abraham's descendant. Now, God took personal responsibility to fulfill every word of promise, even after Abraham's death. Look at Genesis, the 15th chapter. There in the 13th verse, it starts off, it says this. And he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance. You know, that's Psalms 105:37 now. They come out with great substance. The Bible says, you know, they came out with silver and gold and was not one feeble among them. Praise God. Hallelujah. So, you know, and even thinking about that, you know, I'm thinking about, you know, where Apostle trying to, you know, get us to the point to where, you know, we live a long life. We live healthy, wealthy, and wise. You understand? Yeah, yeah. You know, that's the way the child of God is supposed to live. You understand? So, you know, my eating habits, everything has changed. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Plan on being here for a long time. A long time. Praise God. So I'm excited about that. Praise the Lord. Isn't that something? All right. And then it says, so they're going to come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy father in peace, and thou shalt be buried in a good old age. Amen. Praise the Lord. The way a child of God is supposed to leave, he's supposed to be satisfied when he leaves. The Bible said, I'll satisfy you with long life. Yes. You understand? Long, satisfied life. Praise the Lord. And, you know, a child of God is supposed to just sit in a chair and say, all right, I'll see y'all later. I'm out of here. Praise God. No sickness and disease is supposed to take us out. It's not going to take us out. All right. All right. It said, but in the fourth generation, they shall have come hither again, for the iniquities of the Amorites is not yet full. So in establishing an understanding among the believers of the power of a covenant with God, we are laying strong foundations for other wholesome relationship within the house. The beneficiary of any covenant relationship is the next generation. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, one of the things that, you know, I'm kind of gung-ho about this, because we got so many renegades. We got so many, you know, people in the body of Christ that just renegades. They don't want to, you know, they don't want to be submitted to nobody. They just want to do their own thing and that kind of thing and stuff. But we never going to get where God is trying to get us to. Let me show you something. I'm not going to turn to the scripture, but all right. We know about the relationship between Elijah and Elisha, right? Okay. But you know, so when Elijah went off the scene, Elijah got a double portion, right? All right. So, and my point is here, you know, it's always, God is always trying to, the beneficiary of the covenant is always supposed to be the next generation. All right. So, Elijah gets the double portion. But when Elijah began, you know, the Bible says that when they were looking for a prophet, they wanted to find out. They said there's a man that washed the hands of Elijah. And that's how, that was his credentials. He served. All right. So now, then Elijah had a servant. Mm-hmm. And his servant was Gehazi. Mm-hmm. And so Gehazi, you know, the Bible exposed his heart because he was following. His motive was wrong. Right. Okay. Watch this. This is the thing that ministers and preachers and people have to come to understand is this. All right. Remember, he got leprosy, right? Gehazi did. Yeah. Okay, then that was another servant that followed Elijah, because when Elijah, when all them soldiers was around that mountain and stuff, and so the servant said, look, you know, behold all the horsemen and the chariots of fire that surround the mountain. And then Elijah looked, and God had his angels and stuff surrounding. You understand? And so he said, open his eyes that he might see. Remember that?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. So that was another servant. That wasn't Gehazi. But watch this. Elijah dies. Yeah. And so they're having this funeral procession. And war or something break out. And they take that dead corpse and throw him in the hole.
Yeah.
That man leaped up, didn't he?
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. What was that anointing doing in that grave?
Right. Okay.
Why was the anointing in the grave? The reason the anointing was in the grave because nobody had caught that mantle.
Come on now. Come on.
You understand what I'm saying? And this is what God has always been trying to prevent. But it has happened over and over again. So God said, I need somebody in the earth. And while I was meditating today, God said that this is the group that's going to bring forth the body of Christ. Going to see a group who's going to do it right.
Yeah.
Who's going to follow. Who's going to understand covenant. They're not going to be. See, when you really understand covenant, you're not trying to do your own thing. You know, because God has connected you with someone who God is trying to get a work in the earth through. And so we have to follow. But there's been so much foolishness where folk, you know, wondering, when is going to be my turn? When is going to be my turn? The thing about it is, many folk who feel that kind of way. Now, let me say this here. Good people, that's good people. Good people, folk that love God, but they just don't understand how this thing's supposed to operate.
That's right.
So they jump out, they're trying to do their own thing and stuff, and never really. And the anointing that's on the person that God placed in their life for them to follow, they never get that deposit. See, because when you follow a person, there's always impartation, there's always mantles that's being released. And man, I want to say something. We got too many excuses. That's the only thing. We got too many excuses. See, we ought to always be trying to step it up.
Yeah.
We ought to always be trying to find out from God, you know, what can I do to take this to the next level?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because we're the generation, because the body of Christ need to see a remnant of people. Who are operating according to apostolic order, and apostolic succession is being passed down, and people's lives are being changed. Are y'all with me?
Yes, sir.
And so once we get to a place to where we can walk this out. See, oh God, help me here. Once we get to the place where we can get corrected and we still persuaded. See what we've had in the body of Christ. We've had too many fabricate these new instructions from God. Well, you know, I'm following you until you correct me or you ruffle me wrong. And when you ruffle me wrong, then all of a sudden, you know, God spoke to me. And so now we got these fabricated stories. Now we are creating that God has spoke to us. Now, What happened to the person that said that I'm going to follow you all the way? But then as soon as something happened, all of a sudden, God told me that my season was up here. Or, you know, God told me that he has better for me. You know, I don't know what it is, but I'm not receiving what I should be receiving. I don't know if I've outgrown this place or not. See, we got all kind of excuses. We fabricate. We bring Satan to give us every excuse why we should not continue to keep that covenant relationship strong. See, a covenant relationship is really not supposed to be broken. The only way it can be broken is by death. And then it's still carrying on. Now watch, I'm going to show you something in a minute here in scripture. Let me see where it is. Let's see. All right, so God is interested in the holy seed, a godly offspring coming forth in a covenant relationship of marriage. Now, when we live within the contract of covenant, we can tap into the abundance of God's provision, protection, and favor. There are blessings we cannot receive until we are part of God's covenant. Watch this. Even though faith allows us to find access into partial benefits of this covenant, it is a covenant life that gives us the full privilege as sons and daughters of the covenant. So there are many who operate in faith and who have tapped into the blessings of the covenant, but they are merely receiving the crumbs that fall from the master's table. In essence, they're living a dog life. Hallelujah. See, so they're not really receiving all that God has for them. Are y'all still here? All right. Now, so watch this. So if we choose to walk in covenant, we can partake of the bread of the master's table and live like sons and daughters, joint heirs and joint heirs with Christ. So now the author states here that there are blessings of the Father and then there's blessings of God. It's a difference. I say it's a difference. All right. So the blessing of God are seen, for example, you know, when the sun shines and the rain falls on the just and the unjust. However, the blessings of the Father are only reserved for his sons and daughters, and they will receive all that he's gathering for them and all that he has. Hallelujah, my God. See, it's a difference. You know, somebody say, well, I'm a child of God. You know, yeah, well, praise the Lord. But when we understand covenant and we become sons and daughters of God, then there are special endowments and special privileges and stuff that God pour upon us. Yes, hallelujah. So also then there in another example is in Genesis 25. Genesis 25. Let me see. Genesis 25. Verse 5. And God gave all that he had. I mean, Abraham gave all that he had to Isaac. But unto the sons of the concubine, which Abraham had, Abraham gave gifts and sent them away from Isaac, his son, while yet he lived eastward unto the east country. You see that? Now, but the sons of the concubine, they received gifts. But the sons, Isaac received all. You know what's the difference? Praise God. I wish you could see how God has set this up, how when you really understand sonship and walking in this covenant, how God has put you in you are elite group. Yeah. Yes, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, so in the natural, you know, a father's not going to leave no inheritance to his neighbor's children. No, you're not. You're not gonna say, well, I'm going to, you know, just leave this to Miss Joe's son down the street. And you got a son right there in the house. No, you're not. No, you're not. That inheritance is gonna be reserved for that one that's in your house. But it's gonna be his children. So those who are his own household, he will not or should not take better care of someone else's children than he does his own. So it's vitally important in covenant relationship that the parties to the covenant be on one accord as one man with one common agenda. If not, the covenant agenda, it won't be fulfilled. Now, covenant relationships are incomplete if we choose different destinies in life. This is why it's so important. You can't really connect to someone who's going in different directions from you are.
Right.
Y'all with me?
Right.
All right, okay, all right. All right, watch this. I remember had a guy that was in LTMA. So he was in a circle that I lead. He was from Arkansas. And so this guy said, you know, he threw something out there. He said, well, the Lord has called apostle to deal with finances, but the Lord has given me a healing ministry. And so, you know, I'm trying to find my place within this. I said, man, look, I said, if you even have a ministry of healing, you're going to need some money to go there. How are you going to get there? You know, so people get so super spiritual why they miss God all the way. You understand what I'm saying? So how in the world, you know, if God connected you with this anointing, then that's something that God placed on you about finances.
Yes, you're
right. Hallelujah. So that you're not going to be able to get around that. You understand what I'm saying? So some folk, oh God, help me to say this the right way. Some folk got a problem with sowing. That's what their problem is. They have a problem with so-and-so, you know, look like if I was in a healing ministry, I wouldn't have to. So I really don't give because this really not the kind of ministry God called me to.
Right, right.
Oh, please, please. That's an excuse to stay stuck and stupid. So, yeah. So now look at the covenant between Jonathan and David. When David went to the king, the caves of Engedi, Jonathan chose to return to his father's palace. Jonathan, y'all, listen to this. Jonathan could have lived longer if he had stayed where God's covenant was with David. Well, this is strong right here. I told you all the term, blood is thicker than water. That's a covenant term. You understand what I'm saying? Because blood, which people think represents, you know, biological siblings and that sort of thing. No. The water is what what signifies that connection being siblings, because, you know, they came out the same. The water, the birth canal, they came out the same. You understand what I'm saying? But blood is thicker than water. Covenant is really thicker than relationship, you know, sibling relationship. I'm talking if you really understand covenant.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. So now here it was. Saul, you know, was Jonathan's dad, but there was something that God had connected them with. Watch this. When Jonathan and David cut covenant, now we saw it. Jonathan gave David his robe. He gave him his belt. He gave him his weapons. He gave him everything, but he didn't give him his shoes.
Right.
Hallelujah. See, when you in covenant with somebody, you have to be willing to give all.
Yes,
he gave all but his shoes. So look at Second Samuel 9. Second Samuel 9. Mm. Watch this. And David said, now I want you to see this before we go here, because you're gonna see that because of covenant, even after Saul was dead, you're gonna see that they were looking for somebody that was in David's house. I mean, somebody that was in Saul's household, because that covenant didn't stop. But this is what I want you to see. As a result, because he didn't give his shoes, as a result, he wound up, the next generation was crippled.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. I said the next generation was crippled. Praise. Now watch this. Look at verse 1. Starting at verse 1 now. It said, and David said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul? Now here, the king is looking for somebody who was Saul's descendant, because he had cut covenant with Jonathan, right? So even after Jonathan has gone off the scene, now he's still pursuing, because the covenant is not broken just because there's been death there. You with me? So watch this. So he says, "Is anyone in the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, and the king said unto him, "Art thou Ziba?" And he said, "Thy servant is he." And the king said, "Is there not any of the house of Saul that I may show kindness, the kindness of God?" You know, that when he's talking about the kindness of God, he's talking about, you know, really the love of God. Now he says unto him, and Ziba said unto the king, "Jonathan has yet one son, which is lame on his feet." And the king said unto him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Behold, he's in the house of Machir, and the son of Amiel in Lodabar." And King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir and the son of Amiel from Lodabar. Now, when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was coming to David, he fell down on his face and did reverence. Now, see, you got to understand, first of all, I'm going to show you how strong covenant is. Now, covenant is so strong till Mephibosheth's dad and grandfather is dead. Right. But that was an inheritance that they had. But because David was in covenant with Jonathan, now he's getting ready to restore to him. See, when you understand covenant, you understand you could be in a situation where you don't even know that you have an inheritance, but because of the covenant is going to connect you to the inheritance in which belong to you. Got to see it. Praise God. Hallelujah. My phone, I stand on good. Let's see. All right. So it says there, so he did reverence, and David said, "Mephibosheth," and he answered, "Behold thy servant." David said unto him, "Fear not." See, Mephibosheth was afraid because he had heard these stories about how David was trying to kill them. Mm-hmm. How David, and that's really how he became crippled, because a lie had got out that David was after them. And so the maid who was carrying him, she dropped him when he was a baby. You understand what I'm saying? So he grew up with the tale that David really was out to kill him. But he don't understand that once someone has entered into covenant, then it can't be broken.
Right.
So that's just like, see, what Christ has done for us, it can't be broken.
Yeah.
I mean, look, we have an inheritance. That's nothing that Satan can do to stop us from receiving that which God has for us. The only thing that can happen is we can be ignorant concerning that which belonged to us.
Yeah.
But there's no way. We are in covenant. God has cut a covenant with us, and the promises of God are yea and amen, and God cannot go back on what he said.
Right.
Because he swore by his word. Now, it says here that, and David said unto him, "Fear not, for I will surely show thee the kindness for Jonathan's, thy father's sake, and I will restore thee all the land of Saul, thy father. Look what's happening. Now this man out here in Lodabar, he in a place where, you know, they was living in mud huts. And now, because of the covenant, he's about to go. I mean, he's about to live in the palace now.
Yeah.
Ooh, y'all better bag up off me up in here. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Right.
Because, see, that's why Apostle been trying to get us to see we can't be living below our means. God has promised us too much. And so we have to take the responsibility to understand that what God has done for us and take our rightful place as people of God.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. That's why we're going to live long and finish strong.
Yeah.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Yeah. My God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So look what it says here. It says, and I will restore all the land of Saul, thy father. And thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. What kind of favor is this? Covenant. There's something that through Jesus Christ, through the blood of the covenant that he has provided for us, that you are entitled to.
Yeah.
And you can't be going around like you some kind of pauper, you some kind of outsider, you some kind of beggar. No, you're a child of the living God.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And so there's some things that has been stored up for you. And you got to receive it by faith. See, everything that we do, we have to be able to receive by faith. So but just watch this. So he said he's going to eat at the table continually. And so he bowed himself and said, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? A whole lot of folk feel the same way about themselves. You know, I'm not much. Oh, yes, you are. What? And that's what apostle trying to do. He's trying to raise up people's See, that should be no low self-esteem in the kingdom of God. That should be no low self-worth. You should know that you're valuable. I'm valuable to God. And because I'm valuable to God, I have to understand covenant relationships. So when God put me with somebody, it's because there's an inheritance that has been stored up for me, but I have to be able to go through the proper channels. My goodness. I got to go through the proper channels in order to receive. So watch this. So it said, then the king called Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto my master's son all that pertain unto Saul and all of his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him. He not even gonna have to do it. Look, even when you sit at the king's table. The king's table, it's so elegant till when Mephibosheth sat at that table, you couldn't even tell that he didn't have no legs. So when you sat before the king, all your flaws are covered.
Come on.
Oh, God. Woo, Jesus, hallelujah. Glory to God. Grace, man, grace got it covered. Hallelujah. Grace through faith. All right. So now he said, thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the ground for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits that thy master's son may have food to eat. What he was eating?
Fruits.
Ooh, wow. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Come on.
Why didn't he bring him a cow?
Right.
But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread always at my table. You know, it's a bread, but they weren't talking about the kind of, you know, bread with the flour and stuff in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I eat bread every day, but it be that Ezekiel bread, you know, that grain, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Bread always at my table.
Yeah.
Now, Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba to the king, according to all that my lord the king has commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. And as for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all that dwelt in his house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. Look where Mephibosheth done came from. Yeah. This man done been discovered. This man done discovered that he's in covenant, that he's got, there's been a covenant that has been cut and that he has not been forgotten about.
Yeah.
From a mud house to the palace.
Yeah.
He's got servants.
Yeah.
What? Hallelujah. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table, and he was lame in both his feet. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, that's what happened to the next generation after Jonathan. You know, Jonathan only gave part. It left the next generation crippled. But it didn't stop that covenant. It didn't stop it. So this prophetic warning that must prevail within our hearts, whatever we leave incomplete in our covenant with someone will be the area of conflict and defeat in the next generation. Our sufficient commitment and loyalty to covenant today can jeopardize the destiny of the next generation. That's why, you know, there's some things that God is going to do. God is doing now in his people preparing, getting ready for that next generation. Understand what I'm saying? So we can't drop the baton. We can't become selfish. We can't become egotistical and to the point to where, you know, we get out of rank, we get out of line with what God has ordained. I see more things that's transpiring. I see God moving mightier now than I've ever seen once we start understanding the apostolic. You understand? Revelations coming forth, stuff we've been reading for years and they never understand. You understand? But God has a way in a period of time, a dispensation where he sends forth an apostle and he began to open up the mysteries of the kingdom of God so that we can walk in it. I have never felt so free. I've never felt so much pressure come off of me. You know, once I understood, I've always knew that God wanted us to live a long, satisfied life. You know, I always knew that something was wrong with this. You know, when we go to somebody, we go to pray for somebody that's been sick, and then, you know, then they wind up dying. And then, you know, I've been right there in the room, you know, with preaching and stuff. They told them, say, look, well, they got healed. So if the Lord don't heal them on this side, he just heal them on the other side. I said, man, that just don't sound right. I said, I guess it's all right, but it just don't sound right. That's not God. God, folk did a lot of stuff to really harm themselves. They did. And so, you know, I believe that God healed. The supernatural power of God is still in effect. You understand what I'm saying? The thing about it is God put the super in our bodies in order for it to do what it's supposed to do. You understand? But the thing about it is we just can't neglect it. We cannot neglect doing what, you know, we know that's right to do. So, and then expect God to do, you know, I told my folk, you know, when you get ready to take a bath, do you just say, God, clean me until I'm clean all over? If you don't go get your butt in that tub, you're not going to ever get a bath. You understand what I'm saying? And so a lot of times, you know, people, you know, they just thought that God should have, you know, just voila, and all of a sudden, I'm clean. No, you're not going to be clean until you go take personal responsibility and clean your own self. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Y'all forgive me. Y'all forgive me. Y'all forgive me. All right. All right. All right. So we must teach the believers to honor covenant within marriage and within all relationships God has ordained for our lives together in destiny. You know, I said this the last time was that, you know, we have to honor our marriage relationship. There's no way. There should not be. And it's another thing. It's another thing. Okay. It's another thing. All right. In the body of Christ, there's so much divorce. And so what it looks like is like God is not able to keep people together. But it's not true. Though people have responsibility to do what the word says. The Bible says that a marriage is supposed to reflect Christ in the church. And so we cannot get caught up on who's right and who's wrong. We got to always understand that the Bible is right. And whenever we got some kind of disagreement, we have to go to the word. Because the word of God is the thing that's going to cause us to come together and see it through God's eyes and not our own. So people, you know, they got their own ways and they say whatever, you know, to each other. And all of a sudden they headed to a divorce court. And the thing about it is God put them together. So, you know, I remember somebody had said, well, the Lord told me to marry this person. I said, well, now the Lord told you to marry him. Well, who told you to leave him? Now, I believe that if you invite 600 people to your wedding, I think that if you get ready to get a divorce, you need to invite 600 people to the divorce hearing. Yeah, I mean, if you invited them to the wedding, you shouldn't get married until you contact all. And if some of them dead, that means that you can't get divorced because they can't all come. Praise the Lord. But marriage is not supposed to be something that you just in and out. And so they asked Jesus about it, and Jesus said, Moses said to give a note of divorce, a letter of divorce, and Jesus said, yeah, but it wasn't like that in the beginning. He said, but because of the hardness of your heart, he allowed that.
Right.
But that wasn't God's original plan for divorce, you with me? So the church, we have to, and I believe it, I believe that God's raising up people that, you know, marriage is just like anything else. I mean, just like a job, you got to work it. You know, it's not a one-sided thing, both sides. It can't be, it's not a 50-50 thing. It's 100-100. Praise the Lord. Both parties got to give 100. If both parties don't give 100, it's not going to work. Praise the Lord. Now, another example of covenant was Ruth and Naomi. You know, Naomi, her husband died, her sons died, and so she had her two daughter-in-laws. But one of her daughter-in-laws went on back to her people. See, one thing that God will do, God will use the person who you're following to tell you to go ahead on, you know, back. You know, like it did Elijah? But and Oprah went back to her people. But Ruth said, I ain't going. Ruth said, I'm not going nowhere. Ruth said, look, your people are going to be my people. Your God going to be my God. I'm not going. I'm not leaving.
That's right.
See, she understood a covenant. I'm not going nowhere. I'm gonna be buried in the same grave you buried in.
That's right.
See, we in this together. So I'm in covenant. I'm not getting out of it just because, you know, we've had death. Death's not going to separate us.
Right.
Praise the Lord. But time is going to separate us, and I'm through. Praise God.